I hope your day is full of tadpoles and showers and rainbows and rain and pollywogs and puddles and sunshine and umbrellas and warming weather and lambs. Is lambs the plural of lamb? Yeah. And daffodils and chicks and wildflowers and butterflies and births and baby animals and baseball and blossoms and bulbs and bunnies and breezes. And guys, it's a spring theme. You get it. You guys are into it. I can tell you're like, you know what? We really needed a spring intro. I think today's the first day of spring. I'll confirm right now. Hang on. What day is the first day of spring? I don't even know. Oh, I think it's tomorrow. Yeah, it is. It's the first day of spring. Guys, it's the first day of spring. What does that mean? That means like people are fucking and it's getting warm. I don't know if it means people are fucking and it's getting warm, but I feel like a lot of birth shit happens, or at least that's what we're meant to think. I don't know. Should I just shut up and go eat a chocolate bunny somewhere? Nothing really sounds better. Also, chocolate bunnies are so weird. Like, someone's like, you know what? I like chocolate. I like bunnies. Let's combine these two things and make it into a thing that happens. I don't know. My voice, it's coming back. I've had a cough. Yeah, guys. How are you? How I miss you. I feel like it's been a minute, even though it hasn't, but I love recording these intros, especially because now I have like some nicer podcast equipment. So I'm just like cuddled up in my bed recording an intro in like my sweats. Nothing makes me happier than being able to record a podcast intro in my sweats, looking for joy in the little things. guys, sorry to get all eat, pray, love there for a second. If you are tuning in and you're like, bitch, when are you performing stand-up comedy? I'm about to tell you when I'm performing stand-up comedy. I stay performing stand-up comedy is all I'm going to say. If you're in LA, I have a show on Thursday at the Yard Theater at 8 p.m. That's the Yard Theater on Melrose, 4319 Melrose Avenue. And then I will be, what else do I have coming up? I'm coming to Skankfest. That's right, New York Skankfest. That's not until June, but that's going to be an amazing weekend. And I think it's like selling out. So if you're trying to get tickets, I recommend getting them soon. It's 3 days this year. It's June 21st through the 23rd. And Skankfest is just a really fun festival. It's a great way for comics to connect with fans. It's not separate. We all get to hang. And it's in New York. And it's a fucking amazing time. And I cannot wait to be reconnected with my New York fam. What else is going on? Let's see. Check in the calendar. I will be in Vegas May 3rd and May 4th. I'm hosting the Midnight Dirty Show in Las Vegas with Carl LeBove. So that's going to be a fun thing that I'm doing. And then next week, I will have more dates on my Instagram at Princess Shank and on my Twitter at Princess Shank. I do have a show in West Hollywood next Thursday. Oh, and is it Thursday? Yeah, next Friday. I have a show next Friday. March 29th at 8 p.m. at the Ruby. And you can get the address for the Ruby online. And that's in West Hollywood if you're in the area. Come out, support live comedy. I love meeting fans and I love hearing from you guys. So please, if you're enjoying the podcast, like reach out, let me know. Leave a review. Reviews help people find out about the show and I really, really appreciate them. And I just want to keep growing the show and connecting with you guys. So if you have any fashion questions, please do not hesitate to email shank, shenk.pod@gmail.com. Again, that's shank, shenk.pod@gmail.com. I always get back to people if you want to include photos, if you're trying to decide between something, or you're just like a clueless dude or a clueless woman, just reach out. And follow me for show dates on Twitter at Princess Shank, Instagram at Princess Shank. this week's episode's really great. It's with Alexis Haynes, formerly known as Alexis Nyers. I watched her show for a while on E! It was called Pretty Wild, and it was just about her and her sister's lives in Hollywood. And the movie Bling Ring was loosely based off of their life. So she is someone who's in recovery. She was addicted to heroin. We talk about it on this episode. She gets super vulnerable, and she's just like an amazing human being and really cool. And she made the time to come out and do this podcast, and I think it's just a really great episode. And she has a podcast called Recovering from Reality. She talks about her sobriety and recovering from doing a reality show. And she's great. And all of her handle information is in the episode description. And check out her podcast. And yeah, before we get into this week's episode, I just want to tell you what I've been up to recently, and that's baths. That's right. I love a fucking bath. Why? Because it's like an opportunity to like be away from your phone and like be in water. Who doesn't want to do that? Who doesn't want to fucking soak in hot water? More importantly, who doesn't want to soak in hot CBD water? I know I do. That's why I'm so fortunate to be sponsored by an amazing CBD bath bomb company called Kush Queen. Kush Queen is a CBD bath bomb company. They make all of their bath bombs locally, and they're vegan, and they're accurately dosed, and they're just like a really, really amazing product. They make amazing gifts, great Easter present, great Passover present, you know? Give a Passover present, give an Easter present, just give a, hey, I'm thinking about you and I'm not so selfish present. You can shop them at kushqueen.shop, and they have them, excuse me, I have a cough. They have bath bombs for everything from immunity to relaxation to, they have a new citrus one that looks fucking amazing. It's a citrus CBD bath bomb. It has orange, lemon, tangerine, and grapefruit essential oils. And it was created to uplift your mood and support skin health. Yes. Sounds amazing. I haven't tried this one. I'm reading about it and I'm like, damn, I need to hit up Kush Queen and get some citrus CBD bath bomb. But they have like amazing ones. They have one for relaxation, one for pain. They have a cafe latte one. What? That's new too. What is that one? It says it's an antioxidant one, and coffee fights fatigue and helps beautify the skin. What? I want to soak in a coffee. That sounds amazing. They have a love one. That one smells really good because it has cedar wood. I love cedar wood. They have one for sleep. If you do that, I'm telling you, you will knock the fuck out. They have one for relaxation mood. And in addition to having bath bombs, they got more shit. It's not just bath bombs. Yes, their bath bombs are amazing. I love their Black Magic CBD bath bomb. That one's really powerful. Loves it. That one's created to relax the body, but it's good for your mood. And it smells like lavender and chamomile and frankincense. And it's great for anxiety, stress, and inflammation. All great. Couldn't recommend this more. Feel so fortunate that they sponsor my podcast. And they're not just like a shitty company. They've been featured on Forbes. They've been featured on Refinery 29. They've been featured in Vogue. Like, you really know what you're getting. You're paying for quality shit. It's not just run-of-the-mill. Now it seems like everywhere you look, there's a CBD line. And I'm really loyal to Kush Queen because their product's really amazing. And they've sponsored me, you know, from the beginning. So if you're looking for a pain relief lotion or a CBD lubricant or a CBD scrub or a serum for your face, go to kushqueen.shop. That's kushqueen.shop. You can type Shank, capital S-H-E-N-K, into the discount code for 15% off. They also have a CBD tincture. They're amazing. Support them. They support the show. and follow them at Kush Queen Shop on Instagram. And guys, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode with Alexis Haynes. It's a great episode. I think you're going to enjoy it. Here you guys go. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Shank. I'm Sarah Weinshank, and today's guest is Alexis Haynes, also known as Alexis Nyers.
Hi.
Hi, thank you so much for coming on. I'm so excited to have you.
My pleasure.
Okay, so I don't even know how do I introduce you. I first got introduced to you because you had a show on E called Pretty Wild.
Yes, and it was.
And it was wild.
It was.
And I loved it so much. Like, I'm not like a reality show. Like, I had never seen Vanderpump Rules. Mm-hmm. I don't get into reality shows. Mm-hmm. But at that time, I'm from LA, you're from LA, and I remember being like, okay, we live parallel lives, because you guys were like going out in Hollywood,
yes.
I was going out in Hollywood, it was like at Hyde, like do all the places, you know how it is.
Yeah. It's weird being back here in my old stomping grounds, like it just feels kind of interesting, because I don't come out to LA that often anymore now that I live out in suburbia with my kids.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that that's like an important evolution. Like the older you get, you can just like feel the chaos, I feel like, when you come back into like.
And I feel bad for my friends who are like still at it at like, you know, 38, 40. And I'm going, okay, it might be time to like grow the fuck up now and
right.
like do something. It's kind of crazy.
Right, because there is that. There's like this like Peter Pan syndrome.
That's exactly what I call it.
Yeah.
It's Peter Pan syndrome. Never want to grow up. Just want to keep partying. And I don't know how they do it, because I'm so tired by like 8 p.m. now.
I'm so tired. I'm so tired all the time. I'm like, how do these people get fucked up all the time?
Yeah.
And then like go to work in the morning and shit?
Yeah. I don't know if many of them actually work.
That's true. LA is a weird, strange place.
Where you can somehow survive without working, just based on the people that you know or who you're fucking.
Yeah. Or your parents.
Or your parents.
Yeah. Like there's all kinds of like weird loopholes.
Yeah.
So that show is on E. I just want to give a little backstory. It was just about you and your sisters. And like, how would you explain it?
So initially, the story premise was my sister Tess and I were crazy partying in LA, you know, hooking up with rock stars, blah, blah, blah. And we met this amazing producer who was like, you want to shoot a sizzle reel, which is like a little clip that you send out to, you know, different stations and people. And we're like, yeah, fuck it. Why not? And it ended up getting picked up, which is crazy. And it was supposed to just kind of be about our family, which was like really... my mom was like a super big hippie who believed in The Secret, and we were homeschooled by her.
Oh, yeah. I was into it.
Yeah. It was just like this kind of very LA life. And then on the second day, I ended up getting arrested and fought a case on national television as a heroin addict on reality TV. So it just kind of was a shit show. I'm actually writing a book right now, and I'm throwing out name ideas, and I was thinking to myself, I should put, you know, recovering from reality, a how to fuck up your whole life and then put it back together somehow.
Like, I love that.
That's literally like been my life. It's crazy.
Because I remember watching the show, and then like, you know, like and then I saw you on Instagram, and I was like, oh my God, it's the girl from Pretty Wild. This is amazing. And then I could see that, like, you had turned your life around, your mom. And which is amazing, because not everybody turns their life around.
I mean, I was 19 when the show wrapped and I went off to jail. And it was like, whoa. I'm either going to die or I'm going to get sober. Like, that was pretty much it. Like, I'm going to be 6 feet under, like... Tess had been overdosing in my arms a lot at that point, and it was just, you know, we'd get bad dope or we'd get, you know, like...
So were you were shooting?
Yeah, it was just, it became like literally a nightmare, and it was just like, you're either going to get sober or you're going to die in this situation. And at that point, I was comfortable with that. Like, I was like, okay, I won't live past 26. Like, who cares?
Because you enjoyed doing... heroin? Like,
because I didn't want to deal with all of my trauma. Like, I talk a lot about this. I was basically being raped when I was four, and that terrible. Went on for like years. And alcoholic father, and divorced parents, and abusive dad, and you know. And I just kind of had like the fuck it's. Like, it's just, you know, like nothing really mattered anymore. I liked numbing out. I liked partying. I liked men. I liked women too. I liked, you know, I just, right. I liked not feeling, I liked checking out, you know, like I just wanted to check out 24/7, and that worked for me for a long time until I was going to go to prison for 6 years. And I was like, well, there's no checking out in prison.
Like, oh, shit.
You're gonna have to deal with all of this shit now.
So how long were you in jail for?
So I went to jail the summer of 2010. That's when I was in with Lindsay Lohan.
Wait.
Which was really, everybody, nobody covered so much that I was like in jail for whatever. It was more like she was in jail with Lindsay Lohan. It became like a whole thing.
Were you guys weren't like cellmates, no. right?
So we were both in protective custody, which you're in a cell by yourself 23 out of 24 hours a day.
No, it's like solitary.
We were solitary confinement.
For how long? Sorry.
So I did the summer. So I don't know the exact dates, but I went in sometime in June and got out in April. I mean, no, rather August. I'm sorry.
No.
I don't really recall the exact dates. But yeah, and I realized when I was in jail, I was like, yeah, heroin is definitely a problem for me. Like, I, at that point, I was already like panhandling. I'd blown through the $100,000 I got from my show. Like, everything had already fallen apart. And so I saw that it was a problem. And then when I got out, I just had no, like, you know, skills. Like, no, like, I didn't know about AA. I didn't know rehab. I didn't know anything. Like, I tried Suboxone a couple times.
Right. And Suboxone's what's prescribed to people trying to get off heroin. But Suboxone's also hard to be on for your system, right?
So that lasted like a hot minute. And then I was just back to dope. And it just, you know, I think I was also addicted to the lifestyle.
That makes sense. You know?
Yeah. So, like, Suboxone was, like, too clean for me.
I get it.
I was like a trash can for drugs, pretty much.
So how did you start doing heroin? Like, was it, like, a gradual progression of, like, alcohol? What is that step? Because, like, even in my, like, wild party days, I don't... That was never something that I would have access to. Or maybe I just didn't know that I could have access to it.
Everybody has access to it. You can get it on Craigslist now.
Craigslist?
Yeah. It's kind of insane. But it was a fast progression. You know, like I said, I was kind of a trash can for drugs. And so I had had surgery. And that was the first time I tried opiates, and I was like, fuck, I really like this. Like, this is good.
What were you prescribed?
I was like, maybe 14. I was like Vicodin or something. I was like, yeah, this feels really good. And then I didn't have it again for a while, and then I'd go to parties, and people would be passing out Selmas or Xanax or whatever, and I would just take whatever I could. And then I found a steady supply for OxyContin, and that was it. Like, I was smoking 10 pills a day with tests, like 1080s a day. It was
How did
crazy.
You guys start smoking pills? Like, is that like something you just instinctively knew to do?
No, my boyfriend at the time, who was also a coke dealer, was like, here, try this. And he actually, I almost overdosed that first time. And when I snapped back out of it, I'm like, give me more. And he was like, you're fucking crazy. Like, you should never touch this shit again. Like, it is bad for you. And
you know, it's bad when your coke dealer boyfriend's like
yeah, he was like, this is a bad idea. And you know, and I joke because, like, so, like, we would be doing Marilyn Manson music videos, and we partied harder than, like, all of them, Tess and I. It was
like
crazy.
You would do like you'd be like video vixens and
yes
that? I did like some that. Of that shit
we did that for a while. And then at one point Tess was hooking up with like Kid Rock, and at his house I remember, like, we were just so much more fucked up than everybody else. And I guess it felt really normal. Like, that was my normal.
I get that. I mean, like, when you grow up in LA and you have access to stuff earlier,
yeah,
and you're just like exploring, it can get crazy. I mean, I remember hanging out with like Joe Francis, pretty wild guy. gave me a bathing suit that I couldn't fit into when I saved it. Because I was like, this is a tight bathing suit. One day I'll fit into this bathing suit. So how long after you... Okay, first of all, what is it like psychologically to be in jail? Like, how are you able... Like, do you... What do you feel like when you're alone by yourself? That's a long time to be alone. Yeah. It's scary to me thinking about it, even.
It's and you're in there with, like, a bunch... So it's like... It's kind of hard to explain, but it's like a central tower, and then there's like four or five different units around, and then there's two levels of jail cells, and so there's probably 15 of us, 10 to 15 of us in each unit. I don't recall exactly, but and then everyone's by themselves. You were lucky if, like, you had a bunkie, but you're in there with, like, the mentally insane or murderers or, you know, so you don't really know who you're becoming friends with, but you kind of become a family because you have to. So I remember I got in the first time and I didn't know that I was going to have nothing. Like, you get, like, a sheet, three pairs of underwear, three socks, one outfit, and a pillow. No pillow. I don't know. You just get, like, the very basics, and I didn't know, like, what to do. I didn't know, like, that commissary only comes once a week. So if you get in on a Wednesday, you have to wait an entire week before you have any other food than what they bring you. Water, shower shoes, soap, shampoo, conditioner. You don't have anything. And so I'm really grateful for this one woman who kind of, I was, like, so scared, detoxing off of heroin, which is, like, the worst pain that anyone could go through in a freezing cold jail cell, like, shitting and puking my brains out. Like, I ended up getting a kidney infection because I wasn't drinking enough water because I didn't know that they didn't give you water. Like, you don't
get water?
No, you get, like, either juice or milk, like, those tiny three little containers a day, and that's it. Like, you have
juice
to,
or milk? First of all, milk. Do people still just drink milk as adults? Straight,
yeah. Like, you have to survive it in there. It's crazy. And so, this one woman kind of was like, it's okay, baby. Here's my shower shoes. And I used her, like, nasty. She's probably had them for, like, 3 years. I used her nasty, like, shower shoes. Yeah, she gave me some soap and conditioner. And I remember the water pressure was fucking so hard. And my body was in so much pain from detoxing from heroin. And I remember just thinking, this is the worst fucking shit of my life. Like, I just can't even believe. And, you know, we had talked about... my love for comedians, and I dated a couple, and I was dating this guy, and we kept in contact. That kind of kept me through, and, like, just, like, the 1 hour out of my jail cell that I would get a day, like, I would make phone calls. I read a lot. Like, people would send me books.
That's amazing. Because I talked to a friend who was in jail, and he told me that books in prison will save your life.
Yes. I read all the Twilights because that huge back then.
That's so cute.
And I was, like, dreaming that maybe when I'd get out, I'd fuck Robert Pattinson. He was so hot back then. And now
everyone did.
Yeah, he was, like, the dreamy. Like, I was like, okay, I'm going to get out of here. And, you know, not that you have any privacy to, like, you can't, like, masturbate in jail. Like,
you can't?
No, not really. No, because there's always one girl out of her cell at any time and guards walking around looking. Because that's the thing is, like, you don't have any privacy. Like, when the girls are out, like, they can just come. And I did have one girl who thought that she was Michael Jackson. She was seriously mentally ill. And she would just come and stare into my jail cell for, like, her whole hour.
I can't come with this bitch who thinks she's Michael Jackson staring at me, like, and I'm so drinking
awkward.
Milk.
So awkward. Like, there's just, with my, like, milk carton that I saved up. You get really, like, inventive because the food is so shitty. So I'd get, like, Fritos from the commissary, and then we'd get beans, and I'd, like, mix them in, and then you'd get some, like, cheese maybe, and then like, cheese squeeze stuff, and then I'd have, like, nachos. Like, you get really inventive. You try to kill your time the best you can, and it's honestly just fucking hell.
It's so funny that you say that, because I used to have a snack podcast and my friend George Perez came on and he cooked for us what he would eat when he was in prison, and it was like ramen. Uh-huh. And he was like, this is like ramen. Ramen. He's like, and then you Fritos. Yes. Yes. And he like made it and we called it prison snacks. Yes. And the shit was actually kind of good. The way that he made it.
The way he made it was probably good, but you have to be really inventive. Yeah.
So, okay, so then you get out, and are you, like, at this point, like, I don't want to do heroin, or are you still, like...
No, I didn't want to... I knew heroin was a problem for me, and I was like, I'm just going to drink. I'm just going to drink, smoke a little weed, chill, stay under the radar. That lasted... That first night, I got shit-faced. Like, I blacked out for probably a good 2 days, and then I remember... For that first month, I was, like, afraid to go to sleep because I thought that I was, like, in a dream and then I was going to wake up back in jail. And it's the dark was crazy because in jail you have lights on 24/7, like, even when you're sleeping.
Wait, that seems crazy. Like, that would make you crazy to begin with.
I was, like, kind of moving into, like, the psychotic phase of my last couple of months of using, and within 2 weeks I was back to shooting up. And
no,
yeah, it was just, and then so that was in August, and then December 1st, 2010 I was arrested for not showing up to probation for 2 months. They found heroin on me, and that was the beginning of the rest of my life, the best day of my life. Like, everybody always is like, do you regret it? And yeah, the whole Bling Ring situation was obviously tragic and terribly sad, and you know, all of that, and my addiction and the nasty person that I was obviously not good. However, I dedicate my life now to helping other people, and it became a gift. It became the best thing that ever happened to me. You know, obviously not all the rapes and all of that stuff.
Right, of course.
But, you know, the compassion that I have for other people and the understanding that I have of addiction and mental health and the way that it can affect people individually and families is, like, huge. And I feel like we need more people who kind of have that in this day and age, where now it's like the number three leading cause of death for people under 50, and 74,000 people a year are dying of overdoses. And it's just like, this is a public health crisis and we need to be doing more to talk about it. And so I got sober, went to rehab instead of prison. And
were you given the option?
Yeah, that's basically, the DA was fighting for 6 years, and I begged the judge.
6 years.
6 years, yeah.
That would have been
horrendous, yeah. And so I just begged for, I was like, listen, like, if you put me in there, like, I'm going to come out worse than I am now. And I can't even imagine what that's like. And I, you know, and I'm so grateful, Peter Espinoza, that judge, forever grateful to you for giving me a second chance, because I went to school to become a drug and alcohol counselor.
You did?
While I was in rehab, I met my husband.
Was he also in rehab?
No, he was 5 years sober.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, so he's got 13 years now. I've got 8. And
but that's both of you. That's amazing. It is. Congratulations.
Yeah, and our our first baby, Aloe, which is our treatment center, was born. And Aloe kind of took off, and now we're in this phase of launching my own podcast and book and all of that good stuff.
Yeah, I'm so excited that you have a podcast, because you're someone who should have a podcast. You have such a unique perspective. And I think it's good for people to see that addicts come in every different shape and size.
Yeah, and it's not just, recovering from reality is not just about addiction. It's about recovering from life. Like, literally, obviously it's a pun, recovering from reality, because I was a reality TV star, but it's about recovering from life, whether that's divorce or sexual trauma or abuse or whatever it is. It's a platform for people to come together and talk about trauma and how we recover from it and then move on and live life and have a fulfilling life. Because I think that's something that people, you know, most people these days, they just are trying to get by. It's like, you deserve so much more. You deserve so much more than just getting by.
Well, with social media too, there's like, there's so much, I feel like there's so much shame attached to being vulnerable. Like people aren't, because they want to paint this picture of who they are.
Yeah.
And it's like, no one's like that. Yeah. And so like, if you come in from a place that's authentic and genuine, and you're willing to like, you know, shed some light on the experiences that you've had and be vulnerable in that way, not only is that going to help you combat the shame that you've experienced in your life from your past trauma, it's going to help other people.
Yeah.
And people are going to understand you. They're going to get you. And nothing feels better than when you're vulnerable and people get you, because you feel less alone and you feel like you're helping people.
My page is definitely, my personal page and then the Recovering From Reality Instagram have definitely become a platform for community, and I hope that it continues to grow in that way. And you know, and I'd love to talk about shame too, and the way that it's just crippling. And I just recently read about a couple months ago Brené Brown.
Oh, that's where I got it from. I always talk about her.
She's amazing. Like, I want to have her on the pod. She's my goals, right?
Yes.
I want to have, you know, my producer and I were going through people, like, you know, celebrities and people who are like, you know, openly sober, which I think is so important. Like, I understand AA, I understand the anonymity aspect. However, it's like, in this day and age where people are fucking dying and killing themselves, like, we need to, if you're willing to, remove the stigma and fucking talk about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
especially if you have a huge following, because if you think about it, probably 25% or more of those people are dealing with either addiction or mental health issues.
Absolutely. I mean, and yeah, it's just so crazy. The whole thing is crazy. I do want to talk a little bit, really fast, briefly, because like the Bling Ring situation. Mm-hmm. For those who don't know, so that was, you guys were breaking into the celebrities' homes.
So I wish I could take as much credit for it. I became the kind of public figure for the Bling Ring.
Yeah, which, the poster girl
poster
for it.
Poster girl, which is funny, because like I was only ever at one house.
Break-in?
Yeah, so Nick Prugo and that whole gang, I'd been breaking into houses for a long time, and I met Nick, and he was just this really like a tortured soul, like I was, and we kind of connected and just had like a drug buddy kind of relationship for a couple of months there. And yeah, one night he drove me to a house, and a break-in happened, and I was so naive, and I didn't really fully grasp, like, the, you know, at this point I didn't know that he had been robbing like Paris Hilton. Like, I didn't know all of all
right.
of that, you know. That wasn't something that he was like openly sharing at the time, like, guess what I'm doing, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I was there that night, and then over the next couple of months, surveillance videos started coming out of him at, like, I can't remember, it was Lindsay Lohan's house and then one other, and I actually called the cops. I called the cops and I called Lindsay Lohan's manager, and I was like, I know who the fuck this kid is.
You did?
Because at the thing, underneath it all, I know I had this like bad girl persona,
an
asshole, like, I was like, you know, like, I had a fucking conscience, you know what I mean? And so when the cops showed up to my house to arrest me, actually, because Nick said, like, oh, well, she was there at this house. Well, I just thought they were there to talk to me, because I had like spilt the beans. Like, I was ready to like just sit, you know, I thought that they were just there to like, you know, hear what I had to say. Like, I wasn't
like a witness.
I didn't know that they were there to like fucking arrest my ass. Can I say the F word?
Yeah, you can say literally anything. Yes. You can say cunt. You can say twat. I say all the words. So
you know what? And I think that because of the reality TV show, I mean, it's not very interesting, just some group of kids from Calabasas breaking into houses. It's way more interesting.
It's really
the girl
not
who has
when
a reality
you think about
TV
it.
Show. You know, so my husband jokes, he goes, don't you wish you could say you were like the mastermind of the bling ring who secretly got into all these people's houses and like planned it perfectly, knew when they were going to be out of town, found their addresses, knew how to break in. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, that would be a very cool story. But I can't own that.
Right.
So, but yeah, but I went and I did my jail time for that. I put guilty, and you know, and that's not to say that like I was at all, just because I wasn't this mastermind who like purposely was breaking into houses, that I was like, you know, some, you know, Mother Teresa. I definitely wasn't. Like, we were checking cars on a regular basis, looking for cash and whatever we could to get
drugs. I mean,
when you're a drug addict, you're doing whatever you can. You know, and I did. I did everything aside from selling my body, although I considered being a stripper for quite a while. I'm right here on Sunset Boulevard, actually.
Where's Seventh Veil?
Because my mom had me in pole dancing classes since I was about 15. So
for exercise?
Yeah, for exercise.
Yes.
With the shoes on and everything. I mean, we had no freaking boundaries in our household growing up. It was kind of a free-for-all.
That's why I like watching the show.
Yeah, it's fun. It's exciting. But yes, I wish, you know, there was more to this juicy story, but yeah. There's just not.
So now, as a mom, how is your life? Like, what's your life like now?
So I got married 7 years ago to my amazing partner, Evan. And then I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. And life is still crazy. I mean, sobriety is not like a linear experience. You know, it has highs and lows.
That makes sense.
Right now, I'm in a low. Like, I'm dealing with, like, crippling depression and anxiety every day.
I get really that. I have both of those.
Yeah. It's fucking hard. And I, for some reason, can't tolerate medication. Like, I tried Prozac, Lexapro, Zoloft. All of those. I'm actually going to go in for this crazy thing called TMS. It's for people who don't respond to antidepressants, and it's basically like an MRI magnet that they attach to your brain every day for 6 weeks, and it has a 70% effective rate, so I'm hoping that that works. You know, so I have good days and bad days, and sometimes I have days that are mixed, like more often than not. I think that the biggest thing for me is that my perspective has changed. Like, sometimes it feels really crippling, and it did even this morning and last night. I was like, I'm on the verge of snapping right now. Like, I'm going to go into a psychosis. That's what it feels like sometimes. It's really icky.
I just went into my first psychosis last week, yeah, so I get it.
Fucking hard.
Yeah, and I'm on a mood stabler, and it's totally changed my life.
Well, that's great.
And, like, I feel like it's so good to talk about because nobody talks about it.
It's fucking I was doing fine, and then I had my first daughter, and something inside of me changed. And
did you get postpartum?
I had postpartum depression and anxiety, and just it felt almost like my body was so used to being in a state of just like numbness from the drugs, and then even in sobriety, like chain smoking and drinking Red Bulls, and it was just so used to being toxic. And then all of a sudden, when I got pregnant, I was, like, really healthy and all this stuff. And it's just, it was, like, almost everything, like, just felt like it could bubble up all at once. I don't know. I'm really into, like, trying a holistic approach. Like, you know, focusing on treating my mind, body, and spirit. And, you know, and like I said, I have highs and lows. And it's not easy. But, for instance, today, so I was having a really hard day. Did not want to get out of bed. Do not want to come here.
Thank you for coming.
And now I'm grateful that I'm here, and I'm grateful that I did this. So it's like you have to put action, you know, behind it and notice the little things. So I was stuck in traffic on Ventura Boulevard and Laurel Canyon. And I'm like sitting and, you know, like we're crawling, you know, it's like all the lineup of cars. There's construction. So it's one lane, and I'm sitting there, and then all of a sudden I notice literally thousands of butterflies.
Okay, I've been noticing so many butterflies lately. Butterflies.
Yeah, so I was just like, wow, that's really beautiful. And like, it kind of, it sobers you up. You know what I mean? Like, it just, it like, if you can find those small little things, and sometimes it's that, or it's a hug from my kids. And then sometimes, you know, I get a hug from my kids and I can't even feel emotion. Like, that's how bad I am in my depression. So it's not easy. And I'm listening to so many amazing books right now. One is by, what is it? Is it going to pop up here? No, it's by Joe Dispenza, like, how to, I don't know. Let me see if it just pops up on my Audible.
I also have a book that I got to pull up too, because it's totally, yeah.
You know, so, breaking the habit of being yourself. So I'm listening to that book right now, and I'm listening to a number of awesome things, and I'm always, you know, I think that when you have a really traumatic childhood, like, we know, literally your brain develops differently than Absolutely. People who don't go through trauma. I'm hopeful, and in the manifestation aspect, naming and claiming for myself right now that this TMS thing is going to be, like, remarkable and profound for me. You know, so I think it's just, like, a number of things. Like, we have to be doing all that we can, you know what I mean? And so when I say sobriety is not a linear experience, it wasn't just like, oh, I got sober and now life is good. It's like, no, I've had to work really, really, really hard for this good life, like, really hard.
That's amazing just to be able to say that, because I think that, you know, people looking into your life on Instagram, it looks like you're thriving, yeah, like, all the time.
If you read my posts, I'm really honest. Like, you have
to, I do, so like,
you
that.
Can't look at, when you look
I'm
at
just
my
look
feed,
at the pictures.
Yes, you're like, oh, this looks really good.
It really does. It's just the pictures.
Yeah, but if you open, and that's where the conversations are, you know, and the communication and the dialogue is happening about these very things, like, about my body, like, the issues that I've dealt with in the past with eating disorder and body dysmorphia and gaining so much weight with my first daughter and all of the things that I've been through, and all of that. So, like, if you ever catch one of my lives, I'm usually talking about this type of stuff. If you ever actually open my photos, you'll see that. And I'm not saying every time, because sometimes I'm just like, oh, I look hot right now, I'm gonna post a selfie.
I'm like, you're allowed.
I'm a fucking millennial. Bite
yeah.
me. Bite
me.
It's just like, there are definitely some of those, but the vast majority of the content that I'm trying to provide to people is like to engage and talk about these important topics.
Yes, I will say, like, I thought this, I saw you do a live once and I was mm-hmm. like, whoa, this is so cool, because you were so vulnerable and so honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, like, you need to know that, like, you're definitely helping people.
Yeah, I hope I'm helping people, to empowering people to help themselves.
You are.
You know?
You absolutely
That's kind
are.
Of my goal.
You are. 1,000%. I have to tell you about this book. And this book was recommended to me by my psychiatrist a few days ago. It's called Feeling Good, The New Mood Therapy by David D. Burns. And it's about changing your thinking mm-hmm. to rewire your brain.
Absolutely.
Which makes perfect sense.
Shit.
Yeah, it's all the same shit.
It just is.
Different forms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And while I can understand, you know, while all of that is, like, so nice, it's like, it's really hard to do. It's
Absolutely.
Not an easy thing. And I struggle with it a lot, because while I try to maintain, like, a positive mindset, like, when my body has, see, my symptoms are really physical. Like, my depression is really physical. Like, I get shaky and dizzy and lightheaded often, and I feel buzzing in my brain, and I feel like I can't focus, and, like, almost like there's a weird pressure in my third eye, and I feel really sleepy and tired all the time. And so it's hard to be like, yeah, I'm happy right now, everything is great, my body is working perfectly, like, I'm functioning right now, like, life is good. Like, to really do that is challenging. And what I find for myself is that while I can't do that all day, finding two moments throughout the day to meditate is doable.
So when you meditate, are you using, do you do it yourself or do you use an app?
Like, I do both.
You do,
I
both.
Do both.
Do you use
yeah.
Headspace?
Yes, and the Calm app, and also this, another, it's a Deepak Chopra thing on Audible that is called, and it's pretty amazing. It's very calming and soothing for me, and I've found that I really... It's called The Secret of Healing.
The Secret of Healing. The Secret of
Healing by Deepak Chopra. And I just listened to that. I've done transcendental meditation. I took the course. What I found is that I was just like so in my head.
It was like
I need to focus more on like my body and breathing. So TM was... I don't know. It just wasn't for me. You know?
Yeah.
But if I can find, you know, 20 minutes twice a day to sit down and get grounded, and sometimes it's not even like closing my eyes. Sometimes it's just like I'm sitting here or at lunch and I put my feet on the floor and I can get like super focused and feel my breathing and get in touch with my body and begin to focus on my heart, and maybe I'm starting to have anxiety and I can allow that anxiety to sit there for a little bit, because I think so much of life we're constantly trying to run away from being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I encourage you all to embrace the discomfort and sit in your shit for a while, because you might find some real clarity and peace in that.
Absolutely. I think that we live in like such an escapist society, mm-hmm. where it's like you can just go on your phone, mm-hmm. and literally get lost. I have a notification that tells me when I've been on Instagram for an hour every day.
I need to do that.
And sometimes I'm like, oh my God, yeah. there's no way. It's 1 a.m. and I've already been on for an hour. My schedule is weird because of comedy, but it'll be like, you've been on for an hour. I'm like, I'm already done for the whole day, and it's only one. I've spent an hour already. Like,
yeah.
It's just that it's all just so crazy. What about, what is it like raising girls? Do you love it? Like, is it, like, what do you hope to instill on them?
So, parenting has been really interesting. So I basically really worked hard on reparenting myself because I had really shitty fucked up parents.
Right.
And so that's like the kind of the, I feel like the key, like if you really want to break the cycle, you got to reparent yourself first before you can have kids and parent them.
That makes
and
sense.
So,
otherwise you're just putting your shit onto
exactly.
them.
Yeah. Exactly. And so I work really hard to not, let my own fears and insecurities and, you know, to project that onto my children. Raising girls is definitely amazing with a partner who's like a real feminist and who
that's so cool.
He's just such a badass. Like, he's just, I just love him so much. Like, he's just so cool.
And it's so cool that you really can say
lucky.
That.
Yeah, that I'm so lucky that he's just like, that he gets it, you know, like there was no explaining that needed to be done. Like, he's really he's kind of like a social justice warrior, and I just love him so much. And then, you know, there's the aspect of my early childhood and sexual abuse and stuff. And so without projecting onto my kids, I've done some things. I've read them books about secrets and about bodies and things like that. I've done so much, and I could go on with this for hours, but I think the best thing that you can do if you had a history of addiction and of traumatic childhood and you want to break that cycle is get your ass into therapy.
Therapy saves lives.
Because it brings up those kids. Like, so when my daughter turned 4, which was the age where my abuse started happening, all this stuff started bubbling up. And I was like,
interesting,
oh,
but makes sense.
Oh, fuck. And so I went into therapy, and it was kind of like a saving grace for me. And so, you know, and then to talk it out with a therapist and then to put together an action plan. Like, what are we going to do? And
an action plan's so important.
It is.
You
it
need
is.
That.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm just so grateful that I have a community of people in my life now who support me. And I did back then, too. And I just didn't care to hear it. You know what I mean? Like, I always had these people. And I just hope, you know, if you're out there and we haven't talked in 10 years, that you know that if you ever tried to help me, like, I so appreciated it. I just wasn't able to do that back then. And actually, I think maybe because I'm here, one of the guys I was dating, who's a really quite famous comedian, we were dating just for a little bit, a couple months maybe. And I remember one night I really fucked up, and I don't remember what I did because I was in a blackout. And I remember waking up the next morning, and he was driving me home, and he was just like, "You just got to get your life together." Like, I just don't know.
A comedian's telling you to get your life together.
Yeah, which is funny because you guys are all tortured.
Yeah, souls. We are.
And he definitely was too in his own way, but he was quite spiritual and really made a huge impact on my life. And I took those words with me. It was almost like fatherly advice, which sounds really gross.
No.
The guy.
I know. I mean, I get it. Listen, sister.
But he...
All fucked guys give me fatherly advice. I prefer it that way, actually.
So, yeah. So, you know, those people along the way that, like, really had my back and that, like, tried, you know, like, I appreciate that. And I'm really grateful for the people that I have in my life now, because it's a community effort, you know, like, raising kids takes a freaking team. Like, so, like, it's not, you know, can't do it on my own.
Are you like, okay, like, the thought of, like, picking up after kids? I mean, I can barely pick up my shit. I'm like
a maid.
You have a maid.
I okay, just
that's
hired
great
her.
Though. But, like, because that type of stuff, it's like, okay, if you can get help and you have that, you should absolutely take it.
Yes,
you should absolutely take it, because taking on too much, it's just going to backfire because you're not able to show up
and
in the right way.
So, yeah, because I'm working, and even when I was staying at home, like, I knew that just because I was going to have kids, and while kids are absolutely my main priority, and they and nurturing them and developing, like, a really strong attachment and all of that, and breastfeeding, all of that was really important to me, and I did all of that. But also self-care is, like, vital.
Self-care is the most important thing you can do.
So many of my friends who are like, the baby's up all night and she's just breastfeeding 24/7 and I can't get a break and my husband's working all the time, and I feel bad because I'm like, do you not have any family or friends or anybody? And I, whenever I can, just because I also am a doula, which totally side thing, that's just a passion.
I'm a side
of mine.
Doula. You're like doula the most interesting side. Person. I'm a side
I
doula.
I help as many friends as I possibly can in those times, because it's fucking brutal and you need help. And I feel like when, especially in our culture here in America, it's like kind of this, like, dog eat dog world, and there's no space for motherhood. Like, you just have to go back to work, period. Like, you know
it's
what I mean?
Fucked
like,
up.
The whole system is fucked up. But you need to get self-care and you need to get support, because especially in those early days, it's brutal. Early years, I mean, it is so challenging. And actually, just recently, like I was saying, literally like 5 weeks ago, I hired somebody 3 days a week to come and clean my house, because I was like, I just can't keep up. Like, the laundry keeps piling up.
I can't imagine.
My mental health is like in washing the sheets and the kids' clothes and packing lunches and getting them to school and then doing the podcast and writing a book and all of the things. I was just, you know, and running groups at the treatment center, and I'm just like, I can't do this.
And that's okay.
You know, I think I did, though, feel for a long time that I had to be superwoman, that I had to take it all on.
Because society.
Like, yeah. And so fuck that. What I'm saying is fuck that. Go to your yoga class. Go out with your girlfriends once a month. Go out on dates with your husband at least twice a month. That's been my recipe for, you know, a healthy marriage, which I would say that we're in a very good one, and for taking care of my own needs.
That's amazing. I want to touch a little bit on fashion before we wrap up.
Okay.
So what are some of your favorite, like, things fashion wise? And did you have any weird phases?
Did you
like the Juicy Couture?
I did.
Of course.
Yeah. So I went through many.
I did too.
It changed. I feel like my fashion changed with the group of people I hung out with.
Same.
You know what I mean? So, I was was like a little punk rocker who, like, loved Seosin and Under Oath and Avenged Sevenfold and, like,
Avenged Sevenfold.
Yes.
Shit.
And I actually have Under Oath lyrics written down my ribcage because I was, like, such a diehard fan.
That's amazing.
So I went through my little, like, emo phase, and then I started dating. my Mexican drug dealer boyfriend. And so we went.
Okay.
I went through the, like, you know, Champion sweats.
You did? Like,
and Nike shoes.
Dickies?
No. Dickies. Yeah, we went through that with the. I'm surprised my eyebrows survived that phase. And that
oh my God,
back.
One of mine still is like recovering from.
So we went through that. And then the Juicy Couture phase was definitely a thing for a while. I mean, I think that, yeah, like the simple life was like. Really,
iconic.
That was it was, and so Juicy and like the like cropped white beater t-shirts with like really ugly jeans,
like super low jeans.
Yes, the like you're basically seeing my pubic bone.
I know, like my thong would be out, and you could see like my ass crack. I'm like, this is a hot look, and fuck you, mom, for not understanding this.
My mom didn't care.
My mom was like, Sarah, I can see your ass crack. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, so we went I went through all of that. Now, if you, like, looked at my closet right now, I kind of dress for, like, how I'm feeling that day.
So I'm like that.
Yeah, I am. I really am. So, like, this morning I was just kind of like, I just need to, like, grab the world by the balls today and like,
I like that.
Fucking kick some ass. So I'm like, you know, that's what I, you know, I've got my Led Zeppelin tee on. Very big.
Love it.
Led
I love
Zeppelin
a band tee though.
Yeah, I have a, I'm really love music. My one of the best things about my husband is that he introduced me to so much music. Like I just listened to like pop radio when we got together and he we've actually for the last several years been like basically traveling around listening to the Grateful Dead, which
John Mayer. I'm obsessed with the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, and John Mayer now fronts for Jerry Garcia.
Yes.
So we just got back from Tulum.
You went to Tulum?
Yes, to see the Grateful Dead.
The Dead was in Tulum?
Yes, they do it every, or the last couple of years, 3 days on the beach in Tulum, and it's fucking epic. So he's introduced me to so much good music, and I'm such a huge, not that I didn't listen to like, good, you know,
no, I
grew up
it.
With like Alanis Morissette and Three Non Blondes and the
Little
whole
Pill.
Thing, yes, was like everything. But then I really just like only listened to like rap and pop, and not that rap and pop is bad. Like, I'm sorry, I love God is a Woman by Ariana Grande.
Yeah,
like, I I'll be rocking out in my car, but he really introduced me to great music. So I have a whole closet full of like band tees. And it really just, like I said, like sometimes I'm like, I want to wear a skirt today and a cute dress. And then sometimes I'm like, I'm going to wear a blazer and jeans. And then sometimes I want to wear Chucks and ripped jeans and a band t-shirt. And it really just kind of changes by the day. I mean, I think that some people, when I go to pick up my kids from school, are like, what is she wearing right now?
But like, that's always the cool mom. I used to always be like, I used to be like, mom, when you come pick me up, wear something different. Like, there used to be this girl who used to wear like crop tops and scrunchies. I'm like, this mom's tight. My mom would be like, in like a like a nice like sweater. I'm like, can you wear like something like that? Like, it's just, it's so funny.
And then a lot of times I'm just wearing my hair in a ponytail and leggings and, you know, picking
up my
kids from school. Yeah.
I always just wear like a baseball hat and leggings and like running shoes.
Yes.
I'm like, but also, okay, have you seen the Grateful Dead Amazon series?
Yes.
The 6-part one?
Yes.
I watched that and I was like, oh, I didn't know I was a deadhead.
Yeah.
I bought the Grateful Dead. They had like the cute bear Christmas lights.
Yes.
I bought those. I put them on my tree. I was like, I don't know what it is. It just makes me happy.
Yeah.
Because it's so fun.
I wasn't. So I'm not going to lie. Like the first couple of shows my husband took me to, the first was the Fairly Well tour, which was before John Mayer was from. And then my husband's like, well, John Mayer's. And I was like, well, sign me the fuck up. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Your Body Was a Wonderland was like my theme song in middle school. And
yes.
I always used to joke that, you know, my body is John's Wonderland. Like,
I love
was
that.
Always.
That song, like as a horny like high schooler, you're like, yeah, my body is a wonderland.
Eighth grade,
you're like, there's a man out there for me. He's gonna know that this body is a wonderland. Yeah, I used to feel like that too. That's so funny.
Yeah,
that's how I felt with him and John. Yeah,
yeah. So we went and it was New Year's and they played Terrapin Station, which is my favorite song now. and it was live, and John sings it, and I was like on an acid trip, and I was sober. I was like, this is amazing. And then I kind of got into the culture of how they like are very, they share. And when we were on the beach in Mexico, people were just like handing out like free stickers and jewelry, and it's just like a community of like love and peace and tolerance and fucking awesomeness and a lot of weed.
Yeah.
Which would be perfect for you.
Yeah. I love my weed. Weed is like the only drug that's never betrayed me.
Yeah.
In that way. But so yeah, to fucking, what was I gonna tell you about the dead? I forgot and I really wanted to say it. Well, I mean, I think that's our episode. You were amazing. Thank you so much for making the time. I know you drove far. Where can our listeners find you? Do you have anything you want to plug? I know you have your podcast, Recovering from Reality. What's all your stuff?
So on Instagram, you can find me. It's Alexis Haynes, H-A-I-N-E-S. And my Instagram for Recovering from Reality is just Recovering from Reality. And we just did an awesome, pretty wild, it's not really like a pretty wild reunion episode. It's just like a reunion episode with my family. And it's up on YouTube right now on the Recovering from Reality YouTube page, which is pretty fucking epic because we haven't all gotten together on camera since
since
the show.
I want to
sit down, and we definitely need to do a part two, but you know, we had some time constraints for everybody, but it was awesome. And you can find that up on the YouTube, and thank you so much for having me. That was awesome.
Yeah, you're great. And guys, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Laughable, all the places. And if you have any fashion questions, you can always email shank, shenk.pod@gmail.com. And thank you to our sponsors, Kush Queen and Smoked Honey. Okay, thank you. Bye. I have to pee so bad.